Hello, everybody.
Well, we are doing this remotely as the last few, and we're doing them not on this Monday schedule. This is Tuesday. No, this is Wednesday. We're 2 days late already.
Yeah, schedules don't matter anymore. Everything's up in the air. It's 2020. As long as we get it done eventually.
I try to do one a week. I mean,
yeah. I think we've done well, all things considered, Tim.
Well, I suppose Seth Rogen, I mean, I know he's the number one podcaster. I've never watched any of his stuff. Have you ever watched Seth Rogen?
Joe Rogan. Yeah, the UFC fighter.
Who's Seth Rogen? Seth Rogen is the actor.
Yeah, the actor. He's a funny dude. I've watched a couple of Joe Rogan. I watched the podcast with Elon Musk. Which was Elon Musk is a fascinating guy to me, man. He's just very forward thinking, very open minded. So I watched that one. I haven't really seen anything else. I just watched it because I knew Elon Musk was on there. He's moving to Texas.
Yeah, that was a big deal on Valuetainment, which is one of the channels I watch. There were two big people leaving. One of them was moving to Florida, and who the heck was that? I can't remember at the moment, but big influencers.
Rogan's leaving too, right?
Was it Rogan? Yeah, must have been Rogan. Okay, Rogan is leaving. Is he going to Florida or is he going to Texas?
He's going to Texas as well.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people are leaving California. The state taxes are just too much, and New York also has intensive state taxes. And New York City has state and city income tax, or it did when I lived there.
What was your first question when I tried to talk you into moving to Indiana?
Is there a state income tax?
Yeah.
I mean, when I decided to leave South Dakota after my father passed and I really hadn't, I'd shut down my business and I wanted to move for musical reasons. I did an analysis on a sheet of paper, which is how I often do that, write things down, pros and cons, whatnot. And the cities on my list to seriously consider were LA, Nashville, New York. Austin was a second tier. And then even Asheville, is it South Carolina, North Carolina? Is becoming quite a live hub, I guess, regional. Right. Yeah, so and I, you know, California, I mean, New York is kind of fading. I don't, you know, the studios can't keep up anymore because it's so expensive. I mean, studios, it's hard to make a living. We looked at buying a studio in Nashville, right? We looked at buying the library.
We did until it occurred to us that everybody is recording stuff on their phones and laptops. And yeah. I mean, getting a big high dollar studio with lots of gear in it probably is not the wisest investment that somebody could make in 2020. They have programs now, Logic Pro and stuff like that, that cost next to nothing that you can do incredible home recordings for. It's amazing how far that's came, because I remember being 18 or 19 years old when I was really getting into playing a lot of music. We knew a guy in Lexington, Kentucky who had two four-track recorders. And Lexington's about an hour and a half drive. And we couldn't wait for Friday to drive to Lexington for the weekend because this dude had two four-tracks. In our mind, it was like Abbey Road Studio, you know, because this dude had two four tracks. And nowadays, it's like four track. I'm not going to use that. I've got an app on my phone that's, you know, clearly superior to anything that a four track recorder could do.
I had a Tascam four track that came out in the 80s. It must have been mid 80s that I bought it. And it was expensive. If I remember right, it was over $1,000. Which was a lot of money in the 80s.
Sure.
You know, and that'd probably be closer to what? I mean, 4,000 today? I mean, inflation? Three at least. And basically I used a cassette tape. You know, there are four tracks on a cassette tape. You probably know this, or I'm sure you know it. I mean, in one way, you run four tracks, and then you flip it over, and you use the other four tracks on the other side, each two tracks for stereo. And they would use a four-track head, using all four tracks going one direction, using existing medium to record four tracks. And I remember a buddy of mine even told me, he was knowledgeable on technology, and he said, well, get yourself a Betamax, a VCR, because the technology there is high. And then the usually want a wider, if you want a wider tape, you can get more information on it. You know, a cassette tape is really tiny. It's not very wide. There's a lot of information, four tracks on that tiny little tape. And I never really knew what I was doing. I mean, I recorded some demos and stuff, but I didn't know how to use compression, EQ, reverb.
You've become quite the engineer, man. In the time that I've known you, the last couple of years, you've really jumped in and added that tool to the toolbox, man.
I appreciate it. I'm continuing to try to improve. I watched a video the other day, Ken Lewis. I got his notes here. 5 EQ plugins, and now I got a list of plugins I got to buy.
right.
Ken Lewis has. I mean, one thing that Tony Robbins says is that learn from the best, absolute best. Don't learn from the good ones or even the great ones. Learn from the top, the absolute stars of the stars, and that's his mantra. Now, sometimes they're not teaching or they're not available for teaching, but there's a lot of people training on how. There's one individual that I've been to his course in Santa Monica. He's not living there anymore, but he, you know, the list of people that he's worked with are musicians. Might know some of them, but no big studio names. So I've talked about this individual. I want to say his name because it's made me reflect negatively on him. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And he has training courses and things, and they're good. They're good. But if you follow Tony Robbins' mantra, you should learn from the top of the top. Now, Ken Lewis isn't, he may not be the top mixer, but he's had 99 gold records. And he's worked with people like, he worked on Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk. He worked on a whole slew of really big records. So that's just the one I can remember. And so he's got 5 EQ plugins that I don't have any of these plugins. And, you know, plugins are like a couple $100. And he talked about how I use them. And some of the ways he used them are very novel that I hadn't even thought of or heard. And so, you know, hopefully I can implement some of these. I don't know. I won't buy all of them at one time. But so where are we going with that? Engineering. Yeah. So I had a tape deck back in the day. Tape was, but I never really produced anything that I would even want anyone to really hear. And then I bought in the early aughts, I bought and I still have it, same kind of a system, but it was all digital, and it recorded it to a hard drive. It was a 40 gig hard drive, which was a lot then. 2005, a 40 gig hard drive. Ooh, that's a lot.
Sure. Well, think about the old school engineers of like cutting and splicing tape and
some
of the stuff that they had to do.
Yeah. So it's a whole
world now.
Well, you were talking about Elon Musk, and here's a news article from today. Apple, the company Apple, talking about entrepreneurial companies. Apple is now worth $2 trillion, making it the most valuable company in the world.
Wow.
And they will see nearly $60 billion in profits this year. And that's four times what Walmart makes.
Nice.
Just think about that. And they crossed the $1 trillion mark. How long ago you think that was? Well, 2 years ago. Part of it is the S&P 500 is at a record high right now. So the stock market is at a record high. So that contributed to their stock skyrocketing. But the $2 trillion valuation represents about 10% of the GDP of the U.S.
Wow. That puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
This is David Kass, professor of finance at University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business. And it's about 7% of the S&P 500. That's 500 stocks. But the one stock is 7% of the valuation.
Unreal. What's second?
Oh, I don't know. This article doesn't say that, but you can look that up. But Amazon's got to be up there.
Sure.
Amazon or Bezos is the richest man in the world.
Yeah, and he's on schedule to be like a gazillionaire or something crazy like that.
Well, he's worth many billions.
And he's going to be the first trillionaire. Is that right?
Probably.
Isn't he on path to do that?
I believe so. You know, the saying is, if you're in a room, if you're in a party and Jeff Bezos walks in, suddenly everybody became a millionaire on average.
Maybe billionaire at this point.
Maybe billionaire, yeah. Everybody in this room on average is a billionaire. I don't care what you're worth. You could be worth nothing.
But he rolled the dice, right? I mean, didn't everybody at his company think he was crazy when he was talking about the guarantees he was making?
Absolutely. Yeah, that article just really impacted me how he – and he could – I mean, we could not even – every there was a near-death experience. I mean –
yeah, he could belly up easily.
He could have gone up. Elon Musk could have gone belly up. I remember this article where he had to write a $40,000 check to the company. It was the last money that he had and the last money that the company had.
Risks, man.
Elon Musk could have gone on. All these companies have a near-death experience. And how many other companies are there that fell on the wrong side of the knife, made a bet, and it didn't go their way?
Sure. For whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
For whatever. It's all about chances, man.
I mean, what Bezos did was you could pay for overnight shipping or two-day shipping back in the aughts, 2008 or so, and at Amazon. And he said it cost $20 per shipment to get that. It was a per shipment deal. And he had this idea, well, let's make it ubiquitous so a company pays a subscription fee and that everything they get will be two-day shipping. And all his people, his vice presidents, said, "You are crazy. You're going to bankrupt us."
Yeah. Somebody.
They're only charging $120, I think, for that. So that's only six. The break-even point of that with the old model, the new model, was six orders. I mean, the way people order Amazon today, I mean, there's jokes, you know, about all the Amazon that wives or husbands buy. It goes both ways, you know, trying to hide it from their mate. Six a week is probably, I mean, when my nephews were here, I mean, every day they're probably Amazon package. Mine aren't quite that. I mean, between all of us, between the three of us. So that could bankrupt you. But what he forced his people to do is to come up with warehousing. He said, we're only hurt if it's an overnight shipment. And so we have to focus on that because everything else we're okay. We can handle. I mean, if it's okay, two-day delivery, but not, I misspoke. All two-day delivery, but it only hurts us if it's air shipment, if it has to get on a plane. If it's on a truck and it can be 2 days, we're okay. We can make that 2 days. So their people got in busy and said, we need to get our distribution system set up and have warehouses all around the country so that we don't have to ship anything by air to make the 2 day. That's how we're going to meet this. And they worked very hard, a lot of hours. They worked their butts off to make it because they knew if they didn't, the company was going to go under, and they survived. And so by 2010 or 2012, now this is working. Jeff Bezos had another idea. Okay, we got this Amazon Prime. We also have this music thing and movies. let's combine them together. It's like combining hand grenades and cinder blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And what does free shipping for 2-day shipping have to do with streaming services? They again told him he was absolutely crazy. I lost you. Oh, there you are. They again told him he was absolutely crazy, but probably with not quite as much confidence.
Probably, yeah.
I think you're crazy, but I'm not sure. Because last time we did, you were crazy and you were right.
Right. Visionaries always have to deal with that, because most people, if they haven't seen something done, the normalcy bias, you know, they don't think it can be done.
Yeah.
Everybody that moves the ball is always a nutcase until it happens.
Yeah. So
think about the four Wright brothers.
Right.
You know?
So they did that. And now, I mean, Amazon, now they have streaming and, they're rivaling Spotify and rivaling Netflix.
Man, I wouldn't bet
on Netflix and Spotify.
I wouldn't bet
against your main business. Your main business is delivering packages.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't put my money against them.
You know, now they own Twitch. Isn't that right? They own Twitch. Amazon owns Twitch. And Twitch is, isn't that right? Or is Google on Twitch? I think
Amazon does.
I thought they did. Amazon owns Twitch. Which now is getting into music. People are streaming live music on there. And
it's like the tick. And it's phenomenal.
Twitch is on Amazon. That's what I thought. Twitch is on Amazon. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Like the TikTok thing. Music's blown up on TikTok.
It sure is. But
it's like,
you know, the thing about Twitch, you know, the monetary value of the video gaming industry is 2 times the size of the recorded music industry and movies combined.
I'm not surprised.
So having the number one streaming platform, which has 80% plus of the streaming of video games, which is that going to get any smaller? Are your kids going to stop playing video games anytime soon?
It's going to blow up. That's going to grow exponentially. And then you have, you know, certain companies that are really smart about their approach. Whoever invented the game Fortnite was absolutely brilliant, because they gave the game away. The game was free.
Right.
First time I saw it, my son said, "Can I download Fortnite? How much does it cost?" "Well, it doesn't cost anything." I'm like, "Nothing's free." And that's exactly, I had one of those little life lesson moments with him. I'm like, "Look, buddy, nothing's free. If they say it's free, it's not true. It's a product. You got to pay for it somehow." "No, it's free." So you buy it, and then they charge you all this money to add things to your character. And of course, if you don't add things to your character, then you're not cool with all your little young friends. So we downloaded a game for free and then proceeded to spend like a couple $100 decorating this character. So whoever came up with Fortnite, man, salute to you, because you're a genius. Gave product and then charged for accessories.
Let's see. The Weeknd, the musical artist The Weeknd, went live on what platform?
Probably TikTok. That's what everybody else does now.
Oh, it was TikTok, yeah.
That seems to be
That's what it was. Yeah, he did it on TikTok.
It seems to be the fastest growing thing with music videos. It's changing. A lot of adults are watching it now. It was just for my kids like 3 or 4 months ago, but all of a sudden I have adult friends sending me TikTok links like every single day.
Well, for me, went viral on a video, which you haven't seen yet. You should see all the comments on it. It's got close to 70,000 views. Now, TikTok, I mean, I'm just putting my videos up there. It's only 1 minute length and it's vertical. it's not like it's vertical instead of horizontal, like YouTube's horizontal. It's and it's really aimed at skits, lip syncing, things like that. And so you put music videos up there. They're really not a lot, but the platform is growing so much. So I think I told you this, in Milton, Kentucky, right across the river from your home in Madison, there's a mark on the wall of
37 flood.
The 37 flood was like in the middle of the second story, like 20 feet. It looked, I mean, because they were like 10 feet, looked like 10 feet tall. I mean, it wasn't an 8 foot tall ceilings. I think those are high ceilings. And so it looks like it's 20 feet up there. And just thinking about that river, looking down at that river and then seeing the water all the way up to there. And I just did a simple video of that, a simple 1 minute video. In fact, actually, I would like to go back and re-edit it because I was trying to find it in my camera and I was like, you know, there was a little bit of delay there and you lose people like 5 seconds or so where it was just a picture of the wall and I was trying to zoom it in, zoom it out, whichever it was, zoom it out so that I could get to the, it's got most of my views, but I'll be honest, most of my videos get 200-300 views. I have much more. That's got 70,000.
Real. You know, my father was born in a stone house on the river during that flood in 1937 with water in the house. When my father was born, they were scooping water out of the house that they lived in. My uncles and my grandfather were scooping water out of the floor of the house that my father was born in during that flood.
Well, okay. Thanks, Jeff. We'll see if we can cover that subject here in a bit. Jeff's got a comment on the comments here. Some of the comments on mine, I mean, it gets political pretty fast. You know, you've got people are using that as a saying that, and even generational. One kid on my comment section, a baby boomer said to a younger person, they were talking about whether it was global warming or whatever, and somebody said, okay, Zoomer. You know, I mean, so people are calling, are you okay?
Yeah.
So people are, and then calling out global warming, you know, I mean, I guess that means global warming, that proves that global warming isn't a thing. Warming isn't a thing. So what happened? What caused, was there some water management issues with the river that caused that to happen? Some dam that broke or?
It just rained. It rained until the river got that high.
And some of the comments were other towns in Kentucky. What's another town? Starts with a P. Paducah? There another town? What is it?
Paducah.
There was a guy from Paducah talking about it. And one guy commented that his great-grandfather or grandfather, I don't remember which, died in that 37 flood. So, yeah, there's a lot of – I mean, it's quite reputable. And one guy who says, I live in Milton, and I drive by that building, and I never noticed that on the wall.
How could you not, man? I look at that every time I've ever driven by that building, which has been many times. It's fascinating to me to see where water lines were. I'm not surprised that video blew up for you.
Well, then the thing is, how do you, I mean, you try to figure something blows up. How do you do it again?
Man, that's the whole thing with social media is how do you figure out how to capture lightning? You never know.
Go to Paducah and do the same thing if they've got a building. I mean,
all right.
I mean, I'm serious when I say that somebody will do something like there's these little things like women will say to their husband, "You weren't very nice to me today," and then film his reaction or have him sitting in the living room and show a lot of. I think more women are on TikTok. And say different things to their husband. Or what 3 things would you take if we got divorced? You know, and the husband usually said, get divorced, honey. Why are we getting, we're not talking about that. You know, and then these are challenges. So somebody does it, and then everybody does it. You'll see the same thing over and over and over and over. Or trending. Trending thing. Everybody just repeats it. I mean, more than any other channel or any other platform I've ever been on. I've never seen so much naked imitation of what's working. I mean, I guess it's accepted. You know, every channel has their own personality, has their own culture. And in the TikTok culture, I guess it's accepted. I mean, there are people who do lip syncs of Donald Trump's, President Trump's speeches. And there's a lot of lip syncing of a lot of different things. You know, Friends episodes, you know, Seinfeld episodes, The Office episodes, anything. It doesn't even have to be recent. I mean, it could be movies. But I noticed that this one woman, Sarah Cooper, she blew up. She started doing, she does it very well. It sounds like she looks like she's talking. I mean, she does that lip syncing to his voice so well.
Oh, I've seen that lady.
Sarah Cooper. Yeah. And she really was nowhere. And now she hosted one of, was it Jimmy Kimmel or one of the big Nate, Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel? I think it's Jimmy Kimmel. She guest hosted within the last month. And she blew up because of that. You know, so, you know, TikTok's a powerful force, you know, and
who's buying? Is Apple buying TikTok?
No, it would be Microsoft is talking about doing it. But that's an incredibly that's a fraught path to go down to ban them. I mean, maybe there's a lot of long. There's a lot of issues there. It's not just a trivial issue. I mean, we've gone from, you know, the Republican Party has gone from 10 years ago for sure of being all about free trade. And that was in their platforms. They were the arbiter of free trade. And now, rightly or wrongly, not passing any judgment on what is right and what is wrong, the Republican Party is more protectionistic than the Democrats. It's just a huge shift, humongous shift. So, is it right or is it wrong? I mean, who's to say? The company that there's a company, an American company that is just like TikTok, and I've got a Triller. I don't remember the name. I didn't remember the name. I had to look at my app, and I've got a profile on there. They're just like TikTok, and they're an American company. Whoops, and. They're saying that TikTok ripped off their technology and is using their technology, and they're suing TikTok.
Wow.
And so they're raising rounds of funding. They're like $200 million per round. They're definitely – and musicians, a lot of musicians are on there. And I just started posting the same videos on there as I was doing on TikTok. And I don't think it has near the followers yet, but it could. And especially if they're able to win against TikTok. And there was an article in one of the music magazines about the president of Triller talking about that. And he was saying it's kind of ridiculous to say that an American company could buy TikTok and save it from Chinese stealing of American secrets, because all the technology is in China. All the code is in China. They're going to have to transfer all that code to the U.S. I mean, it's just... It's not as trivial as just say, hey, we're going to buy this company. How do you unmesh them from their owner, the Chinese owner? It's there's a lot of moving parts there. So, TikTok doesn't want to sell, and the American the executives that are. TikTok is a subsidiary of, is it Tencent or ByteDance? There's two companies, and I can never remember which one owns TikTok. Two Chinese companies. One of them is Tencent, and the other is ByteDance, B-I-Y, like a bite, like a computer bite, not a bite with your mouth, B-Y-T-E. Those are the two big companies. One of them owns TikTok. I don't recall which, but they don't want to sell. I mean, it's a very successful company.
Blown up.
Yeah, it's blown up. Yeah. So, but on the other side of it, it is true that they have banned, they make it very difficult for our companies to work in China. So it'd be kind of a tit for tat. So I see that argument to it, but.
Sure.
Anyway, here's Jeff Boyd commented. I'm busy delivering for Jimmy John's right now. I didn't know you did that, Jeff. This man in Aberdeen, South Dakota, but I just heard McDonald's in Aberdeen is only open 11 to 7 because of lack of help. That's a problem if a fast food chain. I mean, imagine.
Everybody'd be looking for work. Right?
Why? Well, South Dakota, you know, South Dakota's unique culture. Now, we don't, unique economy, mainly farm driven. And the unemployment, I mean, most people work. People have a work ethic. And the unemployment is usually lower than the national average in South Dakota. So imagine if you, you know, if you get a McDonald's franchise and you can't even get one if you, unless you already have one, I think. They're pretty much mega franchise owners now. And it costs you millions of dollars per franchise. And if a new building goes up or a new location goes up, it's by a current franchise owner. It's been for years, decades. I mean, but imagine if you spend millions of dollars counting on being open 24/7, which most of them are, and you can only be open from 11 to 7 because you can't get help. That's going to be a major hit. I mean, I wonder, Jeff, I don't know if you're still on, but is that related to the COVID thing or I wonder what's that related to?
Yeah. Some of them are open 24 hours. I mean, that's a third.
Yeah.
Third. It's devastating.
Also.
But you sent me a link the other day about all the music venues that have went belly up.
Yeah. I mean, and one article said that they don't expect it to get back to normal until second half of 2021. I don't think any of us had countenanced that idea. We all thought, well, it's going to get better next month.
I'll be a street out of this. By then.
What's that?
I'll be a street performer by then.
So it's just amazing time. I mean, who could have predicted it? I will say, though, that, I mean, there's more and more evidence coming in that this is a very serious illness, and people are having lingering results even after they supposedly recover.
Sure.
So it's.
Well, Rudy Gobert said it still affects his taste buds and his sense of smell.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah.
How about any physical? Some people. Oh, well, there's a guy, I think I might have mentioned in a previous podcast, but a guy who was a renter of some of my land and a good friend, we did some business together. He got it and had to go to the hospital. And when I heard last time I talked and caught up back home in South Dakota, he's got to walk around with he got off the ventilator and released from the hospital, but he's got to walk around with an oxygen tank.
Wow.
The guy's in his mid-50s. I think that's roughly his age.
Well, that's the thing, man, and we just don't know.
And he's a farmer, rancher, farmer. He's got cattle. He also farms. And, you know, crawling up in out of combines and tractors, and you got to bring that oxygen thing with you. Man, I feel for him. That's going to really put a dent in your productivity.
Sure.
Unless you can put it on your – I mean, I suppose you can put it on your backpack. I mean, there's probably different – ways that you can try to get around it, but still probably tired a lot. I mean, can you imagine if you're not getting enough oxygen, you got to rely on an oxygen tank. You probably don't have the most energy. No. I'm just guessing medically, but probably hard to put in those 15-hour days when you're on an oxygen tank.
And it's affecting everybody differently. That's the scary thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know how it's going to hit you.
You know, so and then there was the other one in South Dakota that Jeff told me about. I knew her husband. I had never met her, but she went to the emergency room, didn't feel well. She was dead within 12 hours. And then it was only after she passed that they did a test, and it was COVID-19. So it hit her like boom, right there. Took her out in less than 24 hours.
Wow.
So, and by all accounts, I mean, it was in her early 50s, but healthy. I mean, no lingering major issues. And now they're saying it's hitting more. I read an article earlier that it's hitting more and more younger folks. But, you know, there are still a large group of people who think that it's all a hoax and it's intended to influence the election in November. And then after the election is over, it'll disappear.
Right, magically.
Because it's all made up.
And all the people that died from it will come back to life.
Well, okay, let's go down that rabbit trail. That belief system is that they didn't die from it. They died from other causes.
Right.
Another one comment was it's all flu. There's not, nobody's getting the flu. So I don't know. I'm not on the front. But it's not.
All the people that I know that are telling me to be very careful. So I'm going to listen to them, you know. I'm not an expert.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate that it's so divisive in our country today.
What's the thing, you know? Americans are so skeptical of everything that they we call BS on anything we see now.
Yeah.
Kind of frightening.
It is. All right. Well, what other subject you want to get into?
I don't know, man. I think that's most of what I got this week. We talked about some recording stuff and.
Well, I got one thing that's a whole new ball of wax, I guess. We're not quite to 40 minutes. So, I read an article that. You know, what's interesting to me is how legislation in the last 50 years, 70 years, how you can point to a specific date when that legislation was passed and how it radically changed an industry or a certain segment of the entire country. And we've talked about some in the past. I mean, in Lyndon Johnson's era, the most famous one, of course, is the Civil Rights Act.
Sure.
Or made it illegal to discriminate and have blacks only. And that was huge. And then you get into the early 70s. We talked about, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily a congressional move, but the Securities Exchange Commission made the decision that you could buy back, a publicly traded company could buy back stocks. And that has over... What was the number? $1 trillion was spent just in 1 year on stock buybacks, which could have been used. I can't remember the number. It was a huge number that was used in stock buybacks. And that could have been used. That's why workers' wages have stagnated versus where they were. And that was very impactful. And then you've got in the 90s, very impactful for musicians. Oh, another one was, I think it was in the 70s, where they got away from the fair where you had to give opposing views. If you were doing a news program, you had to give both sides of an argument. And that was maybe in the 70s that was repealed. And now we have extremely divisive echo chambers on both sides.
Right.
And, you know, you can hear your own viewpoint. And there, nobody's required by law to give the other side of the argument. I think that's a negative, that being repealed is I personally feel it's made us super divisive. And in the 90s, for musicians, Bill Clinton signed a law that made it so that there wasn't a limit on how many radio stations any individual could buy. And that was in 95 or 6 or 7, somewhere in there, Clinton's era. And they repeal that, and that radically changed the music business. Whereas before you could have independent DJs break out a new artist, now, the way it is now, I mean, you got Clear Channel and iHeartRadio. I think there's two big companies. Each one have like 2,000 radio stations. Radio is much less than it was, but still, it's radically changed. I mean, now it's streaming and video, YouTube, but... radio was radically changed. Now local DJs can't make decisions. For the most part, you've got the rare independent station that's still around, maybe independent or public NPR type of thing. But for the most part, not like it was before that law was passed. Now, programmers in corporate headquarters decree what the program, what songs are being run. And that'll be the same songs run across all of the stations that they own. And that was very impactful.
That was the death of radio as we knew it, man.
Absolutely. That happened in 96, 97. It was signed during Clinton era. And the one that I read about just recently, one that happened in, I think, the same year that the Civil Rights Act in 65, there were laws on the books since about 1920 to limit the immigration into this country from anyone other than white European countries. And the reason that was in place was to keep America white Caucasian, primarily. That was repealed in 1965. And that is why white Americans are, if not, are fixing to be pretty soon a minority in this country, Caucasian Americans, because the floodgates were opened for Asian, so many different nationalities to come in. And I think it's a strength. I personally think it's a strength. I mean, melting pot. I love it. But it's interesting because now I think there's a direction or a movement perhaps to go back to where that was. And I just find it interesting we can point to those dates of those changes. Not all of them were Congress acts, like the one I think was SEC that affected our life. I mean, that one I think was huge because companies now don't focus on paying their employees. They focus more on buying back their stock and getting the shareholders. So that has affected anyone who works for a company radically. Used to being a lot more, if you work for a company, you could make a really good wage. And now they're focused more on buying back their stock and that sort of thing. So even Amazon, most of their people that work there don't even work for Amazon. They work for contractors. And they contract the work out. So anyway, though, I just find it interesting looking back on time and the arc of how things happen. You make a decision, or the country makes a decision. The country makes a change, a law or a regulation, and how that can be traced back to how much it's changed our culture and our society and our country.
Yeah, well, and they're making oftentimes changes with most people being oblivious to them. Most
right.
People realize what's going on.
Yeah. So.
Those are major changes, though. I mean, it's fascinating how much legislation has guided, especially the music business, like you said. Man, that was the death of radio. Because I remember when I was younger, that's how artists broke. You know, you had cool DJs that would play new stuff or randoms or even locals, local music. It's how cities develop scenes.
Hello, Jamie Humphrey is here. Well, I don't think that contributed to it, but I think also then there was the, in the early aughts, what was the, you could get stolen music. Napster. Yeah. Napster. And then the music, that was a low point for the music industry. All the aughts were just no revenue, and I don't know that the radio contributed to it. It was horrible to be in a music industry. But now, I mean, now is hey, Michael Stucker is here. Now, I mean, there are companies now buying up. One of the news is every day I get the latest news feed on what music industry, and there are companies buying up catalogs, back catalogs, because they think it's worth a lot of money and paying big premiums. Like, Imagine Dragons sold their back catalog. Imagine Dragons is a fairly young band. They sold their back catalog. What it gives for you is you can monetize a lump sum of what you probably think you'd earn over your life on that. And so, I mean, it could make sense depending on your individual, what you want to do. I mean, as a musician, as an artist. At least they have the right to make that decision. David Crosby didn't
exactly
didn't make that decision, and now he's a grumpy old man screaming at everybody.
Yeah, because he sold his masters. Neil Young's in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, he is.
He owns like half of Canada or something crazy. Never sell your masters, kids.
All right. Well, we've been on 45 minutes. Shall we call it?
Good to see you, man.
All right. Same here. Jimmy D and the Wolf.
Peace.
See you next time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.